Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Answering the Call, offering a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of local priests, deacons, and religious. And now, Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli.
Hi there. Thank you for joining us on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 and streaming live at stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. You know, when John Paul II encouraged young people to be generous and courageous in living their lives for the Lord, my guest today took that to heart. He was not only young at the time he heard that message, but his name is Young. It's Father David J. Young, and he today is pastor over at Our Lady of Lourdes in Ada and Immaculate Conception Parish in Kenton, Ohio. And he'll be talking about that story and more with us today. So first of all, welcome Father Young to Answering the Call on AM 820.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. I've been trying to get Father Young in the program, so we finally got the schedules worked out, so we're delighted to have him. And, you know, Father, I know you grew up on the northeast side of Columbus in a Catholic family, receiving a Catholic education all the way through high school. So let's kind of start first with your family, and how would you say they helped to provide your foundation for faith and for God?
Okay, I think I wouldn't say they were uber Catholic. We weren't uber Catholic. Mm-hmm. Average. And it was, the faith was something that was important and fundamental in our lives. And going to Mass was expected. And my parents would really hammer home to us the importance of loving God and being open to God. And also, like, Mom, when we would be in the car, we would say, Mom gave these homilettes, like many homilies about different faith topics. And Dad was always an anchor of wisdom when it came to the faith, too. So my sisters and I really had these two people who took the faith seriously, and it was something personally important to them. And that sort of, I think, instilled that in us, too.
Just seeing that faith lived out day to day.
And the sacrifices they made for us and the things that they would do that you could see that they were going out of their way to give of themselves to others or to the church. That they didn't do it just because. They did it for someone, God.
Absolutely. And you attended St. Matthias Parish in grade school, and then you went to St. Francis de Sales High School right there. How did those environments, those parishes, schools, continue forming you in the faith, would you say?
I feel so very grateful for the education I got at St. Matthias and de Sales. And in that environment, you felt comfortable approaching a priest or a sister and talking to them about anything and asking questions and feeling comfortable and secure and being able to kind of wonder about things and ask questions. And then you were encouraged to dig for answers too, right? And to be open to those answers, even if they were hard sometimes. So the education was excellent, and it also challenged you to dig deeper into who Christ was for you.
So with all that solid Catholic upbringing, you know, both in your family, at school, in the parish, was the thought of priesthood on your mind as a boy?
Younger, I wanted to be an astronaut or a fireman or a policeman, I think. Very common.
Yeah.
And then in sixth grade, our pastor at the time, Father Ray Lavelle, the great.
Yes, God rest his soul.
Father Lavelle, yes. He asked me in confession one time if I thought about the priesthood, and I thought, oh, no, Father. you have the wrong guy. And he said, just think about it. I'm not asking you to make any promises. Just think about it. So I did, and then I promptly filed it away. And I came up with all these reasons not to do it. But that was sort of the beginning of when I started to consider the priesthood.
What about around confirmation time? Sometimes that's another time people will think about it.
Yeah. Part of the confirmation preparation was to do a service project. And luckily, I was paired up with a priest who was in residence at St. Matthias at the time, Father Richard Hilsman, S.J., and I worked with him. He was writing books for youth and youth ministry and on prayer, and sort of we developed a rapport, and he became sort of my de facto spiritual director, even though I wouldn't have known what that was at the time. And I could ask him questions, and I felt I could approach him about any topic. And so that sort of set a strong foundation for me to be able to really connect with someone who is a priest who is living it out and happily doing so, like Father Lavelle, like Father Smith, the pastor at the time there.
So you could talk to these gentlemen about the priesthood. Did you talk to your parents or friends about it? Or
I wasn't really gung-ho about telling everybody that I was considering it. I did talk to my parents about it. My sisters knew. Some close friends knew. But I didn't want people to presume, you know, once you make that statement, then you're on this track.
Sure, right? Yeah.
And I wasn't so sure that track was where I was supposed to be.
Yes.
So I took things slow, I think.
Okay. So even in high school, kept that kind of under wraps? And
right. In high school, really, I sort of had filed away the priesthood far back. So all I wanted to do was have a part-time job and a car and a girlfriend. And that's all I was focused on.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
And then getting good grades so I could get into college. And then who knows from there.
Right. All right. So the question we're all waiting is, how and when did the thought of priesthood enter the picture for you then? More in a more public way, in a way that you were ready to take it out to test that.
I think when I went to college, I went to Ohio State my freshman year, and I really had no idea where I was going, what I was going to do. I knew that I wanted to do something in service to others. So I was thinking social work or something in giving of myself. And I was talking to Father Hilsman about this one day. And he said, I said, Father, I just feel really thankful to God for all that he's given me. And I want to give back. And he said, why don't you give him yourself as a priest? And I said, oh, you stinker. You got me. I need to really think about this. So I really did start to consider priorities and what I was meant to do, what God had in mind for me. And so a few months later, I was waiting for my parents and sisters. We were going to the vigil mass at St. Matthias, and I just happened to open up the Catholic Times and came, I just really was kind of just browsing, and I came across this quote, and it was a moment where I felt like God was saying, this is meant for you, right? Mm-hmm. And after that, I thought, I need to give seminary a try. And so it was a quote from St. John Paul II.
Would you share it with us? Because it's so relevant to the theme of this show, which is about answering the call.
Sure. I brought it here with me today. Above all, it is to young people that I would like now to address myself. Christ needs you in order to realize his plan of salvation. Christ needs your youth and your generous enthusiasm for the proclamation of the gospel. Respond to this appeal by giving your life to him and to your brothers and sisters. Have faith in Christ, and he will not disappoint your wishes and your plans, but will fill them with meaning and joy. He has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Open your heart and trust to Christ. Let his presence in you be strengthened through daily, worshipful listening to the sacred scriptures, which constitute the book of life and of fulfilled vocations.
He is just amazing, an amazing saint
yes,
and holy father. We're listening to Father David J. Young, pastor of Our Lady of Lourdes and Ada and Immaculate Conception in Kenton, Ohio. He's sharing his vocation story and that quote from John Paul II, which, as he said, was something that really spoke to him at a very decisive time in his life, enough to take you to the next step to meet with the vocations director.
Right. So I went down and met with Father Ted Sill, and we met several times, and I said, I think I want to try this. So I transferred from Ohio State to the Josephinum for my sophomore and junior years of college. Loved it there. Loved being in an environment where it was natural and normal to talk about priesthood and faith and mm-hmm. Christ. And it was such a privilege to pray with these men who were seeking God's will, right? But then there was still fear. I was scared. I was scared of public speaking.
And that does have something to do with the vocation of priesthood.
Right. Yeah. Sort of important part.
One, right.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Right. Right. So preaching, and then I was wrestling with, could I be celibate?
Mm-hmm.
And also, was I holy enough? Could I be holy enough to be a priest like these great examples that I had growing up? So I was scared and I split. I hit the road. I ran back to Ohio State. I continued my degree there, and I dated a few different girls, and everything was fine. But there was something still inside. There was this sense of thanksgiving that would not go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like I need to give myself back to God in the way that He wants. And so I wasn't going to be fulfilled in giving Him thanks until I really gave myself to seminary and to the priesthood for real. And then if I didn't make it through, okay, but I gave it my best shot.
That's right. So it would bring you back to the Josephinum.
Right. Transferred everything back to the Josephinum, graduated there in 2000.
And graduated there in 2000. And then for major seminary, for your theology degree, you went to St. Vincent in La Trobe, Pennsylvania.
Right.
What was that like?
That was fantastic, with the Benedictines and surrounded in this very beautiful countryside. And there's a university there and a basilica and a monastery and then the seminary. And it was a very place of very strong faith and this drive that was there toward learning more about Christ and falling more in love with Christ.
Did you consider the Benedictine life at any point, since it was a Benedictine college?
I did, but I felt like, reflecting on it and praying about it, I felt that part of getting to where I was had been shaped by the Diocese of Columbus and the wonderful people here, and they had inspired me. And part of my giving back to God was going to be giving back to our people here mm-hmm. in the diocese. So I felt very convicted to continue pursuing the diocesan priesthood.
Now, Father Young, you developed an appreciation for one of my favorite saints, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, during your seminary experience. So how did she play a role in helping you through the process?
A friend of mine introduced me to her in minor seminary at the Josephinum. I read Story of a Soul and just fell in love with her and just loved. I introduced my college students at Ohio Northern to her, describing her as the blue-collar saint. Right?
That's a great term for her, by the way, blue-collar saint. Yes,
yeah, anyone can pursue sanctity with her little way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just really resonated with me. And then once I got into seminary, I stayed close with her. And there came a time leading up to diaconate ordination when all of the fears came back, right? Can I really be celibate? Can I give up a wife and kids? Can I preach? I've taken homiletics, but I'm still scared, right? Am I ever going to be holy enough? And so these really strong concerns kept coming back. In the meantime, my grandpa Du, one of my great heroes, my mom's dad, he had been in the Second World War, and he was really a war hero, but he wasn't my hero because of that, because he never talked about those things growing up. He was my hero because of how loving he was. What a compassionate man. And when during the war, someone had given him a medal of St. Thérèse, and he carried it, and he wasn't even Catholic at the time. But his girlfriend at the time had said, keep this on you, wear this, and you'll be protected. So he was at Normandy, he was at the Battle of the Bulge, he was in some very sticky situations, made it through.
Wow.
And he kept that medal with him all through his life. So when he passed away, I had asked if I could have that medal. So leading up to diaconate ordination, I was thinking of him and, like, Grandpa, pray for me, please. And I washed away some of the years of accretion on the medal, and I realized it was a medal of St. Therese from the Shrine of the Little Flower in Royal Oak, Michigan. And I thought, oh, that's wild. But I thought, that can't be it. That can't be the sign that I need. The next day I'm filling out paperwork for the diaconate, still kind of anxious and worried. And they said, what's your baptismal date? So I looked it up and went to write it down, and it's October 1st.
Which is, of course, her feast day. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Feast of St. Therese. And I thought, okay. All right. St. Therese, I hear you loud and clear.
Yeah. We call that the spiritual, like, billboard, right? Or the spiritual 2x4. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. She wasn't going to let me skate away. So
awesome.
I'm so glad.
So yeah. She was there, got you through, and you returned to Columbus for your priestly ordination in 2004.
Right.
With a few other classmates.
Right.
I say classmates, even though you might not have been the same class, but in your year.
Right. There were six of us all together.
Six. And mm-hmm. What do you remember most about that day of ordination?
I remember equal parts of fear and excitement. Like, I can't believe I get to do this. I can't believe God is going to let me do this. What a privilege this is going to be. And it was on this overwhelming sense of, even though I was scared, there was also beneath that was this peace, like, this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. You know? After all these years, all that preparation, all that questioning, and,
right.
And now it's the reality. So your very, very first assignment was over at St. Agatha's. Talk about that assignment, because I know you loved it there.
I did. I loved every day I was at St. Agatha's. I loved the grade school. I loved playing kickball during recess. I loved teaching some of the classes. I loved preaching to the kids. And there were great priests there. Father Ed Hussey, Father Bob Shear, and then the one and only, the great Monsignor David Funk, who is a hero priest to me. He and Father Mark Galone are gentlemen that I look up to and who love being priests, who love the Lord, who love the church, and who love their people. And that's the kind of priest that I want to be. And so I got to spend this time in residence with these really great, great priests. And so I got to learn so much from them, and then also learn so much. I was this baby priest, and I was learning so much from the grade schoolers, too. You know,
yeah.
It was a really very special time.
A special time, but a short-lived time.
It was. I expected to be there 4 years at least. And then one day I got a call, and the diocese said, you are needed in Ada. And I said, Ada?
Did you even know where Ada was?
I'd been there once to cover for Mass for Father Dan Millizer before.
Oh, yes.
But I thought, I don't know about this. And when I met with the bishop, he was...
But now you have to clarify for our listeners, you weren't just needed in Ada. You were needed to be a pastor
right.
in Ada. Now, this is a priest who just come out of seminary a year and a half before, and they're asking you to be a pastor.
Right. So cue the terror again in my heart. But I thought, okay, Lord, this is what you want. You know, I'm entrusting myself, continue to entrust myself to you. And I believe this is what you want. But I wanted to make sure with the bishop. So when we met, I said, Bishop was just our new ordinary at the time. And I said, Bishop, you know, there are two Father David Youngs in our diocese, right? Are you sure you're talking to the right one, right? So there's Father David E. Young. I call him Father David Young the Greater. And then I'm Father David J. Young, Father Dave Young. He said, yes, you're the one. Yeah, I want you to work with the college students. And I said, okay, I don't know about this, but I trust you, and I trust the Holy Spirit's guiding your choice. So I made the promise of obedience, and I will do whatever you need.
And off you went to Ada.
Right.
And that was 11 years ago.
Right.
So how was that experience?
At first, it was still scary, right? And I thought, I don't want to screw this up, but Monsignor Funk told me before I left, your main job there is to love your people. And so that was always in the back of my mind when things got hard, overwhelming, when I felt out of my league. I kept remembering that. Remember, you were there to love your people. And so as long as I stuck to that, then there was peace in what I was doing. And I could trust that as long as I was doing it with all my heart, then even if I made a mistake now and then, God would work through that too.
What's been the greatest struggle in being a pastor up there for 11 years? Just what have you faced?
I think probably the hardest thing is not being able to fix everyone's problems and make everything okay, and wanting to have answers that sometimes when people have questions about life or struggles or the cross, sometimes there are no answers except in embracing Christ. But there will always be questions, and there will always be times that no matter what our vocation is, we don't feel adequate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like it weighs on me that I can't do everything exactly ideally, right? But my parents remind me all the time, we already had Messiah.
Yeah, right? That's right.
He did a great job. So you're just an instrument for him. And so that's another thing I remind myself. Okay, Christ, work through me. And even though I'm broken and have limitations, I know that when I do it with my heart, he'll make it work out.
That's right. And he's shown me that lately too, the power of love. Love, love, love.
Yes.
You know, God is love. If we ask for that virtue and we try to share that in everything we do, that's transformational. It's going to bring about the best results. And so I definitely relate to that. And what would you say to a young man maybe today considering that maybe he's been told by a priest, have you ever thought of priesthood? No, Father.
Right,
not me. But,
right.
You know, Benny, he's getting that inner sense that either it's gratitude or this something's missing or I'm being called. What would you say to that person?
I would say, you know, God reveals himself in truth and in beauty and goodness, right? The transcendentals. And so recognize how he's revealing himself to you. How have you seen him in those ways? And then how have you shared him in those ways? And then how will you thank him in your life, I guess, in those ways? How would you share and give back to him truth and beauty and goodness? Because he's given it to you. He's given it to everyone, and he has a very specific and amazing and fulfilling way for you to share it and to return it.
Mm. And I'm sure you're a blessing not only to the people in your parish, but as you said, the students at, it's Northeastern?
Ohio Northern University.
Ohio Northern. That you encounter there, that you can bring that message of hope to, that message that you shared with us of John Paul II. You know, because the young, I think, are so thirsty for something. You know, this world is not really fulfilling them, and they just need a little direction as to what is going to really just bring them that fulfillment, that peace in their life.
Right. So we point the way to the one, right?
That's right, because the source of all.
Right.
So that's so exciting. So, you know, I'm sure the people up there at Ada love you. I know that after 11 years, you come to a time that the bishop may give that ding-a-ling call again.
Right.
And tell you he has another plan for you. And I know the obedience promise that you've made, that you'll go where you're sent. And that's challenging and blessing at the same time. We've talked to priests about that transitional time. And we wish you all the best with that, too. Can you kind of to wrap this up, I guess, the show is about vocation. So just if you have a word that maybe the Holy Spirit's putting on your heart to encourage people in all their vocations, it doesn't even have to be priesthood, because we're all called to vocation.
Right.
But how to best listen for that and to answer the call in our own lives?
I would say, don't let fear get in the way. So there, you will always come up with a million reasons not to do something, and those all stem from fear. Right? So don't let fear stop you. Do what God wants you to do, and that is loving. There's going to be sacrifice. There are going to be challenges. But ultimately, that's the greatest fulfillment, is doing it for love. Don't give in to fear. Give in to love. Follow love.
Be not afraid.
Be not afraid. Right.
As Jesus and JP, too, have told us repeatedly.
Right.
Father Young, it's been such a pleasure having you on the program, talking about your vocation, your journey. Can you leave us with your priestly blessing, please?
Sure. Direct, O Lord, our actions by your holy inspiration, and carry us on by your gracious assistance, that our every word and work may always begin in you, and by you be happily ended, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Father.
Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in. This is Elizabeth Ficicelli, host of Answering the Call. Tune in on Tuesdays and Sundays at 12:30 for another episode. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.
Answering the Call is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli are available at stgabrielradio.com.